waging love, the incredible generosity envisioned in Isaiah 55 and 58. Hello, this is Doug Clark. Welcome to Probe. Probe explodes this week in a celebration of diverse people, how we treat each other. Chapters 55 and 58 open new possibilities, especially in the world from which they come, for wider acceptance and better treatment of other people. To help us with these chapters, I've again asked Drs. Alden Thompson and Zdravko Stefanovic, each Old Testament teachers at Walla Walla College, to join me. To both of you, welcome to Probe.
Thank you. Thank you.
We now have come to additional chapters in the book of Isaiah. One, chapter 55, which has such a wonderful presentation of salvation, and chapter 58, which in many ways is one of my favorite chapters in terms of how we relate to others, and an added bonus about the Sabbath and how we relate to the Sabbath. So let's begin thinking about chapter 55. What do we have in this chapter, this celebration of salvation?
In addition to holiness, God's salvation is a great theme in the book of Isaiah. And to talk about it, Isaiah uses more than one metaphor. Light is one that we have already seen versus darkness, the garments of salvation, but then food, eating and drinking, feasting. And that is provided free by God. So that becomes an important metaphor in Isaiah for God's salvation offered to people.
Even if mixed a little bit as a metaphor, mm-hmm. buying it, it's free, but there's this note about purchasing, which is an interesting sort of metaphor, so that you'll have money to purchase. But I want to come back to your main point, Zdravko, about food. It does seem to me that by our sanitized distance that we have living in the modern world, away from the Old Testament, that sometimes we do forget the importance of food. Food is significant for family settings. It's significant for worship. Archaeologically, when we excavate temples, we often find these huge caches of bones from potlucks, mm-hmm. from what people had sat down after worshiping to eat. So the food is a part of it. It's filling physical needs as well as spiritual needs, and it's done right on the grounds of the
and temple. Social as well. Very often we hear the concern what we eat, which is valid, but in Bible times it was more how we eat. Mm-hmm. It was a great time to become one, to socialize. Mm-hmm.
And often in settings that were protected by a host. If it were a tent, you would be protected. You would have the food, you'd have drink, you'd have everything cared for, maybe even end up with another spouse, depending on how many daughters the Bedouin host has. But in any case, the sense of fellowship surrounded by food, and now tied to religion and salvation, too. So the idea of having a potluck after church isn't all that new. That's been around for a while.
No, and you know, when we mention the concept of salvation, there is a danger that it becomes just a concept. But food is something that is tangible, that you feel, and so on. And that is why we have these analogies, these metaphors that are so powerful. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, let me bring in here, then, an interesting contrast. You know, last week, we talked about the servant. In fact, we've done that 2 weeks, talking about the servant, self-denial. And it seems to me like many Christians, at least some Christians, and maybe it used to be more typical in the past, by following this self-denial principle, they've actually not allowed themselves to enjoy really good food. If it tastes good, it has to be bad. See? So how do we turn that corner in the light of the self-denial element, which is there in our religious commitment? How do we discover the joy of rich food?
See, I don't think it was very much a part of Old Testament faith. The asceticism is more, comes with the Greek world and comes in the New Testament.
I know, but how are you going to get us back to the Old Testament world, Doug? See, that's my question.
My response is to return to a sense of holism, that the physical, the mental, the spiritual are part of a whole, and the social. I'm going to come back to your comments, Stravko. It's not just the individual holism, but it's the whole community. And if in fact you accept your whole being and your community as a creation of God, the good creation of God, then you celebrate good food. You celebrate what makes for a healthy, happy, physical well-being as well as spiritual.
Where do you put the Gospels, in the New Testament or in the Old Testament? An example from the life of Jesus. You remember how his opponents were asking about regular fasting in regard to his disciples, and Jesus defended them. And he said, well, there is a time when it's appropriate to fast. There is a time for feasting. And he defended them. He said, time will come when they will look around and see that they are in a great need, and with that kind of situation, they will turn toward God, and they will fast and do all that is necessary. But he said, maybe now it's time to feast. So there is time for fasting, there is a time for feasting, according to Christ.
Well, in fact, one of the accusations, at least as we hear in the Gospels, is that they could toss Jesus off as a glutton and a drunkard.
But I do think that there is this shift in the way the Old Testament and New Testament think about it. I do think that there is a holism that we lose when we move to the Greek world.
But don't write off the New Testament too quickly.
I didn't write it off.
I put it in the back room almost. But Jesus' first miracle was at a week-long party, a wedding party.
That's why I would say yes.
And according to John, the last, formal meeting between Jesus and disciples was a barbecue,
on the beach.
Meeting. That's right, on the beach, with fish there and everything. He took care of their needs, and it's so meaningful. So Christ was real, and he lived with real people, and some people would say, what do you mean by real? But,
And I think it's also helpful, and of course we're three Old Testament people here, so while we're among ourselves, we can talk this way. But the Bible, Jesus' Bible, and the Bible of the Apostles was in fact what we call the Old Testament.
And it did call for celebration, and chapter 55 of Isaiah picks up nicely on that theme. One more note on 55, and then we need to scoot to 58. In 55, there is a repeated theme about seeking the Lord while he may be found. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that the formula, seek the Lord and live, is an invitation to come to worship, mm-hmm. and to live means to be part of the worshiping community. To seek the Lord here, a call to come to worship. That would be my read of it.
That is correct.
Yes? Yes. Alden, do I get a passing grade from you, too?
Yeah, fairly decent. But I was just thinking of a comment made by a devout Christian several years ago. We were talking about the feeling, there are certain things that we, is it right to do? Will God, will he love me if I do this? And so on, those kinds of questions, maybe fairly juvenile ones, but they're lurking there. But this man came back to me, and he says, the question is, not so much, will God love me if I do this, but will I be able to love God? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that when we place God first, then it makes it possible for us to be joyous and buoyant and open. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we are trying to simply stand back and see how much we can get away with, it simply kills the spirit.
Mm-hmm. So. And that reminds me that chapter 55 ends with proclamation of joy. Mm-hmm. This is the outcome of that.
Yeah.
What about 58? I love chapter 58 of Isaiah.
Well, maybe we better turn you loose for sermon here, Doug.
No. don't get me started too quickly here. I would say that... Oh, no, I won't. The idea of fasting is clearly here. Mm-hmm. But how does Isaiah 58 treat it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the only day for fasting in the Pentateuch that was mandated by God was the Day of Atonement, the 10th of Tishri. And there is trumpet mentioned here, Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the trumpets, and something special coming. Unfortunately, fasting for the people turned into something else, and that is exploitation of the workers, trying to make more profits.
Mm-hmm. But, even though this is a fast, It's really quite intriguing here, because what do you do in this fast? Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry?
Mm-hmm.
There you've got the feast, right in the middle of the fast. Mm-hmm. And it comes out again. Verse 10, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted. And quite frankly, I don't like to eat by myself. I'm a very social person. Now, I know I've done some surveys in my classes, and about half of my students say they would just as soon eat by themselves at least part of the time. But for me, it's such a social event. This ties back to something that Stravko said. Coming together, it's such a common thing, and especially if the other person likes what you like. There is, you know, you look and say, isn't this marvelous? And that's so much more fun than if one person has to eat it just to be nice. You know, when you can both say, this is really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does our author kind of take us on a quick detour? I mean, the word fast typically means how it's described here. But now he redefines it. Is that what's happening? That the fast is, you're thinking about it as not eating any food. I'd like to suggest, the author does, that you feed somebody. You're thinking about wearing sackcloth and ashes or taking off your clothes. How about defining fast now as putting some clothes on to somebody who needs it?
See, what you've done is turn fast, typically we think is internal type of thing, a self-centered type of thing. You know, I've got to get my life in order. What he does, you're right, Doug. He transforms it. Now it's no longer self-centered. It's other-centered. And he ties it in with the Sabbath, too.
See, and I think that goes back to something we talked about before, too, that in our quest to think about personal salvation, do we become myopic to the world out there and people in need?
Mm-hmm. It's possible, because verse 4 is a very sad statement. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists.
This doesn't sound like a pleasant potluck.
And it goes on to say, such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that does take us to the end of chapter 58, and I see a parallel here. The wrong kind of fasting and the right kind. The wrong kind of Sabbath observance and the right kind. And results in both of these cases. Mm-hmm. What do we know about the Sabbath in these verses, 13 and 14? Should it be a happy day?
Well, you call it a delight.
Yes. And the key word in the whole chapter, in Hebrew we say chefetz, which is not easy to translate because it may mean one's occupation or it may mean one's pleasure. I see in the context of the whole chapter that it is more business-oriented, and therefore it says that on Sabbath we should not do our chefetz, making profit and so on, but that it should be a delight in the Lord.
And that is really a glorious, liberating prohibition. When the Sabbath comes, he has forbidden us to worry about all those things that have tormented us all week.
To make it a delight.
To make it a delight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the end, there are few things as important for those who claim the God of Isaiah as their own as the way we relate to other people, especially those who find themselves marginalized from the rest of us. Thank you, Alden and Stravko, for helping us walk through a chapter which is really a precious, actually two precious chapters in the book of Isaiah. Next week on Probe, Alden and Stravko will again be my guests as we continue discussing the book of Isaiah, this time the enlarged vision of Israel and its God in chapters 59 to 62. My thanks to Steve Cochran, the producer of Probe, to all of you for listening. For Probe, I'm Doug.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you may call 509-527-2194 or email probe@wwc.edu. Join us again next week at the same time for Probe.